Blog Talk Radio.
Things have held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing up our act. And if you've ever been held down before, I know held down anymore.
Don't you let nothing, nothing
stand in your way.
I want you to listen, listen
to every word I say, every word I say.
Ain't no stopping us now.
We're on the move.
Ain't no stopping us now.
Trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going, they don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our shirts together, gonna polish up our act. Well, and if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
To fade, guys, this is hard to fade, but it's an amazing song. And you know, I'm really blessed because I have my brothers from Philadelphia on the line and New Jersey on the line. So I just want to, you guys, first of all, I just want to say thank you so much for tuning in to Solar Records Radio today. We do appreciate you and love you, and we pray that you're good and you're safe and God is blessing you and keeping you well. This is Wardell Potts Jr., your host today for Solar Records Radio. And man, oh man, do I have a show for you today. I have a musician, songwriter, producer on the line with us that's really blown me away. Like, I'm a fan. You could tell, you could hear the excitement in my voice. And so without further ado, I want to bring in Mr. Dennis Harris. Dennis, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. You are there. And
okay.
Then also we have Alfie. Now, everybody knows Alfie because he's been here before, and that is, these guys are like, they're connected at the hip. So Alfie is here just to bless us with information that could just, you know, help fill in some of the spots and stuff. So how you doing, Alfie?
I'm blessed to be here.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks for having us on.
Yep. Oh, man. This is a blessing for me. You guys are like, you guys don't, like, man, you, it's emotional, you know. So I grew up listening to this music, and to actually have the opportunity to talk to you guys is really a blessing for me. You know, I went on and did my stuff at Solar, but you guys were the ones that taught me indirectly without even knowing. So anyway, let's get right down to, I wanted to get inside of Dennis's brain because he's got so much information. And so Dennis, before we get to your story, can you just tell us what you just said? I heard you talking when I clicked on behind the scenes and you said, that's me right there starting off the song. Did you start that song off?
Yes, I did. The introduction.
Wow.
That's my line. Yes.
Oh, man. Oh, man. So, good God, man. How are you, sir?
Good. I'm fine. I'm blessed to be, I guess, you know, not one that had a problem with COVID, but I'm here. Everything is fine.
Hey, man. Okay. So, I had COVID, too. Alfie, did you get it, too?
No, sir.
Look at him. He's so lucky. But I got it. I got it too. And so we have a drummer, a guitar player, and a keyboard player on the line. Am I right?
Hey, we could do a gig.
We could do a gig right now. Let's get
it. Ain't no stopping us.
Oh, man. And, you know, you got to know, once again, the emotions are coming. Get to play with the Philly International crew. Oh, my God. That would be the blessing, you know, coming from, even though I'm from Philly, but I did all my career on the West Coast with Solar, right? And so, but my home and my heart has always been in Philly. Just like, I love the Lakers, but when the Lakers played 76ers, I was a mess. I was tore up. I was like, the Sixers got to win. I can't, that's my team. That's where my heart is. So, but anyway, Dennis, can you please, now listen, Dennis, first of all, I want you to know that this is your show, okay? So there's no time restraints or anything like this. I want you to be comfortable in telling your story, you know, as to, but I want to start back to Dennis as a young man in the beginning of his life when he decided he wanted to be a musician, and up until you ended up working with Philly International. Can you tell us that story?
Yeah, it's really funny because I started, well, a lot of us that did stop at.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, are you there?
Yes, go ahead, Sadie.
Hello, okay. I was in West Philly and actually started with a group called the Delphonics.
Okay.
You may have heard them, La La Man of It, Love You.
You started your career with them?
Yes, I was. I was with them in about 19. Well, we're not going to talk about that. But I started with them.
How old were you?
In high school. I was probably about 15. Maybe, yeah, 15 years old. 15, maybe 16. And and it progressed from the Delphonics to a group by the name of the Intruders. And you probably heard of them.
Of course, I heard.
And they were doing a whole lot of touring. So the Delphonics at that point in time were a local group, and they didn't have the big hit "La La Means I Love You." That came out the year after I left and went with the Intruders. But because the Intruders had, you know, they were touring in the Chitlin circuit. You heard of that, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Well, we were, you know, we're making that, you know, between Philly, Chicago, New York, Baltimore, Washington. We were doing the traditional Chitlin circuit. We were doing that and down south. And then I started to work through that, and because of, I guess, my musicianship,
mm-hmm.
I got to, you know, do some recording with them, and the rest of it took off from there. So I did Love Is Like a Baseball Game, and took off from there.
Wow, hold away. So I need to back up, Dennis, because there's so much more. And I know you have a long story, and I hope you have time to share as much as you can. When did you decide, or how did that happen that you became a guitar player, period?
I guess I just gravitated to the instrument. I just wanted to play it. As opposed to a horn or, you know, or the drums or something like that. It looked, and so I said, okay, I could do this. You know,
How old were you when you picked it up?
Probably about 18 years old.
How old?
And my dad, you know, my dad bought me a guitar.
Did you say 15 years old?
Took off about 15 when I first picked up a guitar. Yep.
Okay. Hey, now I went to Settlement Music School. Either one of you guys went there?
Yep.
That's so cool. Yeah, okay, cool. Man, oh, man, I tell you, man, you guys are woo. So you and Wilkie, right? Pookie.
Poogie.
Poogie. Go back a long
Poogie.
Ways. So when you were 16? You were 16 when you got with the Delphonics, right?
Correct. That is correct.
Okay. So, wow, you guys go way, way back. Way back. You know, we had Poogie from the Delphonics on the show a couple of years ago, I guess, and I had a really good time with him. How is he doing? Is he okay?
Last I heard, because Poogie's working, he's active, but the last I heard, he was fine.
Awesome. Okay, so as you started off with the Delphonics, then you went to the Intrigues. And
intruders.
And when you went to the Intruders, did you guys record that song, Cowboy's the Girl?
Cowboys, yes.
You did?
Cowboy's the Girl. I did not. That was before I got with them. I was still with the Delphonics at that time.
Okay.
I did Love Is Like a Baseball Game.
Oh, my goodness.
I recorded that. Yes.
So this is now, were they at Philly International at this time?
Yeah, but it wasn't Philly International. It was called Gamble Records or Gamble Huff Records. It became Philly International when they merged with Tom Bell.
Okay.
And that was in the early 70s.
Okay. And so Love Is Like Baseball Game. Yes.
Yep.
I was such a kid. And so, okay. All right. So then you went from there. Now, were you just in the studio or were you doing both live and studio?
No, I was doing road work. So I was road with the Intruders for a long time, for about 3-4 years or something like that.
How was your parents dealing with, you know, their teenage son going, just disappearing?
They had long conversations with
the group
guys in the Intruders, because they wanted to make certain that, you know, I wouldn't get into too much trouble. Right. You know, Phil Terry, who was the leader of the group, he just told me about that too. That he had a conversation with my parents, and he made promises that, you know, like he'd take me under his wing, and just, you know, make certain that I didn't get into too much trouble out there on the road, because it's easy to do.
Too much is the key phrase.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he wasn't going to follow me around all
right,
over
right,
the place,
right, right,
but, you know,
right.
He wanted to make certain that,
yeah, he did his best,
you know,
to protect
that,
you.
That I wasn't going to go crazy, you know,
right,
out there.
Right. That's awesome, man. Oh, man, I tell you. And so did you know, when did it hit you that you're involved in something that's going to be huge? When was that, with the Delphonics, or was it with the the Intruders? Or the Intruders?
No, it was Intruders. Probably after that, because my reentry into the recording studio was with I was with the Tramps at that time, because I left the Intruders and I was with the Tramps. And we did Bad Luck.
Bad Luck.
And, yeah, Bad Luck by, well, it was Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes.
Right.
And it was there. And I guess I was just hoping to be able to parlay my talent. And take advantage of that and play an integral part in, you know, the Philly sound.
Right, right. Wow. And so you knew that you were, when you were with Philly Sound, that this was going to be a big thing. But how did you get to be the producer? I think you produced with the Tramps, right?
No, I wasn't. Well, yes, I did. But I think I got to be, it just depends on if you're good enough to, you know, to direct guys in the studio to make records, then I guess you can, you know, you can do that. You just have to be, I wanted to be good. And I would do almost anything to do that. So that's the way it was.
Wow.
That's what I did. Yeah.
Wow.
It didn't help that it didn't hurt that my cousin was one of the big shots in the recording business at that time. You might have heard of him, Norman Harris.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
He
was on the side pushing me that way, but I didn't. You know, I really wanted to make best use of my talent and kind of go my own way, so to speak, or push myself.
Right, right. So how was it working, I mean, you know, like with Teddy Pendergrass?
Working with stars always has its challenges.
Right.
Teddy had left. He was just leaving Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. To tell you the truth, I was just trying to play a good guitar. And wanted to make certain that I knew I would. This is going to sound strange, but I knew I was going to hear it on the radio. You know how you hear it on WDAS, WHAT, and
right.
You kind of heard the record, and you wanted to make certain that, you know, you did a representative job doing it, and I did. You know, I didn't want to be, I don't want to be embarrassed, because in addition to Philly Sound coming out, you were competing with Motown, Stax Records, you were competing with record companies and records from all over the country.
Right.
So it kind of widened the aperture, so to speak, of things you had to compete with. And you had New York, you had Stax, you had, you know, other places, you know, Detroit, you had L.A., you had stuff from Muscle Shoals. And so you don't want to make certain that, you know, my stuff sounds good, too.
Right, right. Okay. And what kind of guitar did you? What was your baby?
It's called a Gibson L5.
Gibson L5. And what was about that Gibson? What was about it that made it become?
It had tone. It also had the ability to be bright. I used to like it because it sounded like West Montgomery. But I mean, you could do a lot with it. Very versatile, and you know, I could do almost anything with it.
Wow, and were you guys, Alfie? This is for you too. Were you guys at a musicians union? Were you guys signed up to the music? Like in California, I was up to a local 47. What were you guys hooked up with?
Local 77 in Philadelphia.
Local 77
local
in Philadelphia?
Local 77.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
I was with 274, then local 77, then Northtown Union, then 77 again.
Now, did you ever have that experience? I mean, when you were going in to collect your checks and stuff, was it always like, oh, my goodness, look at who's here. Look at who's here. Did you get that experience?
Or well, personally, when I went to join the union, Jimmy Smith was there, the organist, him and his son, you know, and I met him in the union hall.
Okay. Okay. And Jimmy Smith, just for those who don't know, can you share a little bit about him?
Yeah, Jimmy Smith was maybe the foremost so-called jazz organist on the planet.
Okay.
And he's known for pieces like The Sermon and, mm-hmm. you know.
Okay. Dennis, you were about to answer that same question?
No, well, it depends. Like in Philadelphia, I knew most of the guys, so it was pretty much, you know, it was normal to see the guys from Philadelphia. But when I went to New York, you saw the guys that were there. Eric Gale, what's the bass player's name? I can't think of his name now. He produced Luther Vandross.
Marcus Miller.
Marcus Miller, yeah, I saw him there. I would see, you know, guys there, but,
right.
you know, I never really, you know, I was never in awe with them.
Okay.
Awe of them. It was good to see them.
Right. yeah, it was just, you know, just times, it's just fun to see, you know, because like for us, like we were, you know, we were constantly going there and you constantly see all these different cats and everybody, hey, what's up, man? How you doing? It's just kind of like a camaraderie thing. You're seeing all these different, you know, people that you.
Musicians,
musicians mm-hmm. and stuff. That's the musician's world. Okay, so anyway, so man, oh, man, I got to tell you that I am so blown away about, you know, your I went through your discography, and it is crazy, all of the stuff that you played on. And, you know, you mentioned earlier that Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, but I never knew anything about Harold Melvin. Can you tell us what kind of a person he was?
You know, I always liked Harold. I never worked with him. I was never a road musician with him. But he was always, you know, I found him to be, you know, always full of life and full of fun. That was only because I knew him from afar. I didn't work. I was never in a group that he, or never part of a group that he headed. But he was likable. He was likable in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I know him as. Alfie, maybe you, did you know him?
Yeah, I did a gig with him once, sometime after Teddy's automobile injury. Like one gig, you know. And we had a nice rapport, you know.
Wow. Well, you mentioned that, man. That was very devastating to the industry. I mean, and you guys were like real close. How was that for you guys? I mean, that jeez. that
the accident that Teddy has.
Yes.
We were about to go in and do his third or fourth album. And I'll never forget when I got the call. First of all, they had booked a whole month for us to be in the recording studios to work on his songs or his album. To hear about the accident was amazing to me because I said, whoa. I didn't know he was as hurt as he was, but it was a game changer.
Yes, absolutely.
To say the least.
Yeah, a career changer, everything. It was, everything.
It changed a lot, you know, because
yes.
He said he had so much stuff going.
Right.
And
he was right at the peak, right?
Yeah. So I was looking forward to being, you know, to that next album, but it never happened.
Yeah. That's always a sad situation. Who were the engineers that you guys mainly used for the Philly International sale?
Joe Tarzia, who was the owner of the studio. And you would see Jim Gallagher. There was Arthur Swoop. I'm probably mispronouncing his last name. Now we're going back, and I can't remember.
I know. I'm sorry.
But,
yeah,
but those are the guys that I saw a lot.
Right. How about this is a question from overseas. Did you work with the Stylistics?
Tommy Bell produced them. And Tommy Bell had his own rhythm section that he wanted to make certain that they did. Because Tommy is a different type of guy once you go to the studio. not a bad thing. It's just he wants things to be regimented as they are. But the proof is in the pudding. The proof is how it comes out. And man, Tommy was a great producer.
Yes. What was one of your most exciting projects that you worked on, and why? Just one of them.
One of the one that was most memorable to me was Lou Rawls.
Oh, wow.
And when we did the big song he had, You'll Never Find. It was amazing to me. I mean, remember when we actually recorded that date, because the guy who played drums on that is named Charles Collins. And I remember him doing it because it was so different than anything I had experienced before, because he played the rims on there. And I thought, that's different. I never heard that. And so you're recording and you're trying to do, you know, concentrate on what you're doing. But I couldn't help but notice that, you know, he was playing the rims during the verse. As opposed to somebody playing skin or playing, well, you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
And things like that.
Yeah, right.
And after we recorded the track, he had to go back in to actually record the skin and put those on there. And I remember, because it was so different, I never experienced that, because I'd play with guys in the studio and they played a normal trap set.
Yes,
but in that case, he didn't, because he used that. He was playing that sound effect, which was the side of the drums when he did it.
Mm.
That was an interesting, an interesting recording track that we did. One, and to tell you the truth, the whole album was different because I wanted to. I didn't know what we'd do for him, you know, because Lou Rawls is the guy that. The Tobacco Road, and he's the guy that, you know, that you hear about on some of these stations, and so I'm saying, okay, how is this going to work? How's this going to come out? And but it did, and I don't know, we did a good job on it, but as we were doing it, it was an experience.
Now, he was at a different label, right?
I think Lou Ross was, before he came to Philadelphia International, he was in Chicago.
Okay. So when he came to Philly International, that's when you worked with him?
Yes.
Okay. They wanted that Philly sound, man. It couldn't happen. Oh, man, oh, man. So tell me about you two, your relationship, Alfie and Dennis. How did you guys become buddies like this?
Well, I would say I met Dennis at, I think it might have been at maybe Poogie's house.
From the Delphonics?
A long time ago, yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, okay.
And I auditioned for a group called, I think it was called United Image.
Okay.
Oh.
And Dennis was the musical director. And didn't that group become Double Exposure?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So wow. I auditioned, and at that time I was coming out of so-called straight-ahead jazz, and I was just, you know, straddling in a fence between R&B and jazz and not really having solid footing in that I was playing R&B, you know. And so I didn't make the cut for that audition.
Mm.
And needless to say, Dennis and I remained friends to this day.
Yeah, obviously. Mm-hmm. But isn't it, what, you know, I was a jazz drummer in Philadelphia, you know, progressive jazz I was into. And, you know, so, and when I decided, I had to figure out this R&B thing, like why all my friends are like so, you know, like just they're not musicians. They were just, you know, childhood friends. And they were like, why are you playing that stuff? Why don't you play, you know, some Larry Graham or something? You know, why don't you get off of that? And I was like, I don't want to, that's simple. Me, I don't want to play. And so then, but my curiosity said, you need to check it out and see what's really going on. And so then when I decided I wanted to do it, my jazz friends were not happy. They were like, oh, you're selling out, man. You're selling out. Did you get that, Alfie? Did you get like that? Or
I got some of that, yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then again, myself, I had stopped playing music for a while. Before that, Billy Paul and Norman Connors and a lot of folk who were visual, you know, fine art artists and mm-hmm. poets and stuff, and like artsy, crafty folk, we used to spend a lot of time down Rittenhouse Square Park in Philadelphia, downtown Philly, and the studio loft, the scene. And we were staunch, straight-ahead jazz Billy Paul, Norman, myself, a bunch of us. But then I heard later on that, you know, Norman had hits coming out on R&B. So to Billy Paul, so I said, it must be something to this. So I investigated it, and I listened to the Mighty Love album, and I listened to Blue Magic's first album, and I self-taught myself some things. And then I found out where Sigma Sound Studio was. I went down there. I met Larry Washington, the conga player of MFSB, and I told him I play keyboard. He said, "Let me hear what you got." So he took me into Studio B, just me, him and myself. So I played him a little medley. He said, "You know," he said, "it's pretty good. You know, I got a cousin named Major Harris. He's gonna be a big star, and he's gonna need a band." So that was my lead into career in that Philly R&B scene, and you know, one thing led to another.
Wow. And that's exactly how you guys know Terrence Floyd, right? Or Tony?
Oh, of course. I've worked with him many times.
Yeah, so he's the one, him and Tony Westcott, the drummer, got me the audition with Leon Silvers in California. And and sometimes, you know, it's nice to have people that are respected to give you that, to open the door for you. And I was blessed by them, and I got them the gig with Shalimar, and Midnight Star, so they could travel around and do what they love to do. But at that time, Tony Westcott did not want to go to California. He wanted to be with his family in Philly because he had been out there with the Silvers traveling around the world. And so I did. I went, and I next thing I know, I was recording everybody, the Whispers and Shalimar and Carrie Lucas. I mean, it was just all these artists that I was recording, and I just felt bad because that was Tony's gig. And then when I talked to Tony about it, he said, nope, God meant for you to have it. I tell you, talking to you guys have been nothing but an honor, and it's always an honor, because I have nothing but total respect for what you guys did for us. You guys opened the doors for us. You know, everybody has their part, and the guys before you guys opened it for you guys, and you guys kept it open for us, right? And so, I just want to just say thank you for, your contribution to the music industry, because we got blessed because of you guys. And so thank you. The music was absolutely amazing. Dennis, can you tell me a little bit about Mr. Young over there on the drums? Man, oh, man.
Earl Young?
Yeah.
What do you want to know? He's still playing, believe it or not.
That's right.
Gosh, 81, and it's like a Time Max watch. He's on ticking, man.
Yeah, that's his workout now. That's his workout now, right?
He's playing. But that's the way, he developed a sound. And you got to respect him for that because, I guess as musicians, we all look for that one thing that we can hang our hat on and say, that's me, because nobody else can do it in the way I can do it. And he did that. So some people call it the disco beat. Some people call it the four on the floor. I don't know, but he did it. He developed that sound, and that's what coming off him. And it works. You can hear it whenever you hear Mighty Love. You can hear that. You can hear it in The Love of Money. You can hear it in so many other hits.
Could it be I'm Falling in Love?
Could it
be?
Oh, my God. Huh. I mean, it's just, I see him and I speak to him and I admire him. I'm on a list with him and he's number one. And I'm like, this guy has recorded a lot of records. He's the number one. Most recorded drummer with R&B and pop in the world, and I'm number 11. And it's like, he's way up there. I was like, good gracious. I didn't even know I was on that chart until someone else Googled me and found out. and then I was so excited to see Philly at the top, man. I was like, wow, go ahead on, Earl. So, man, oh, man, you guys, Alfie, is there anything that you want to share with us that I know you're constantly recording? Every time I call him, he's in the studio recording. What are you doing?
Well, one thing, you mentioned Russell Topkins Jr., the lead singer of the Stylistics.
Yes, yes.
Several years ago, before the pandemic, Russell had reached out to myself. He had been, studying off and on piano for some years on his own, for his own pleasure and, seeking, learn stuff. So he asked me to be his piano teacher. So I was, coming to his house, giving him lessons. And through that sojourn, we start bonding, and I was showing him some of the stuff I was doing, songs I've written. So he heard this one song called It's Our Family Reunion. It's like an original piece a guy named Kenneth Salam and myself came up with in 1990. So we had I played my old demo from about 1990. And Russell said, I don't like that song. He said, it's not in my key, So we figured out a key. And it was like God took over. And I was able to, I didn't know where the finances was going to come from, to go get by 20-hour studio time in the top studio. And we went and we cut the song. And Russell, he's like a team player, very humble guy, no highfalutin. He doesn't change up on, you know, and his skill set, he's like a, he also runs, he does like a jogging and what have you, and runs every day basically, and he's like an Olympic, he's like a Muhammad Ali to me, the way he like we went in and cut this song, he said, I know I can do better than that, and he would come back, and then each time we went to the studio coming, and he nailed it, I think I kind of nailed it, he could ask me, what do you think? Yeah, I think, yeah, you know.
Wow, that's awesome. So is Russell Thomas, does he reside in Philadelphia?
Yes, he does. And he's still working, touring, you know.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, man, oh, man. You guys, you know, I want to thank you again. I know I've had you on longer than I said I would, but it's just so much information. And Dennis, you know, can you just tell us, if you do you, I'm looking at the all the songs and stuff that you played on. Do you have all your awards for all those songs?
All of them. I don't know. To be, it may sound strange, but I don't know.
Right. I know. I feel the same way.
I've got gold albums. I started giving them to my kids because I, you know, I said, well, look, you know, I wanted to, you know, I don't want to be in a glass house, you know, filled with gold albums and stuff like that. I'd rather for them to have it because it could become family heirloom, so to speak.
Right,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah, I've got a lot of them. A lot of that, you know, the memorabilia that is important for me to have. But I want them to be able to share in the, I guess, some of the stuff, the positiveness that I think that's important too, because it goes down through generations.
Amen.
And you don't want to see it, you know, somebody asking a question that maybe your, you know, grandkid or something like that, and you say, well, what did he do? And you know, they're asking questions that maybe my son can't answer or didn't ask me, so he had an answer for them. So, you know, that removes all doubt.
Okay, that's awesome. What would the, you know, your legacy, what would you like for your legacy to be?
I was a good guitarist, a real good guitarist out of Philadelphia. You know, which says volumes, because we do have a style, we have a way of playing, I do want to be remembered for that.
Yeah,
so,
and it's a lot of competition in Philadelphia for musicians, boy.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, so,
the cream rises to the cream rises to the top, okay?
Amen. That's right.
It happens all the time.
And what about you, Alfie? What would you like your legacy to be?
Well, the best that I could physically and skill set-wise be as a performer, keyboardist, and sharing, you know, a teacher, producer, and songwriter, and dancer that I could be. And I work at it all the time.
I didn't know you were a dancer, Alfie.
Oh, yeah. I was blessed to study with a guy named Otis Gibbons, who was the top, I would say, the top partner dancer and instructor in the Philadelphia market. He used to be on a TV show, a black TV show back in the 1950s called the Miss Thomas Show. Miss Thomas used to be a disc jockey on WDAS radio. And Otis was a regular on it. He was known for a dance called The Strand. And he would get fan mail back then, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was blessed to study with him for over 10 years. He made transition at the beginning of the COVID. In fact, we're giving a tribute memorial dance party the 30th of April in his honor. On the committee.
Okay. Wow. That's, you know, you guys, thank you. It's so much information, and there's so much more to talk about. I could talk you guys to death. There's so much stuff. I mean, you guys went to Settlement. Dennis, you went to Settlement Music School?
No, I didn't. I went to Overbrook High. I went to Overbrook High. From there, I went to Philadelphia Academy.
Oh, PMA. Okay.
Yeah, I was there.
Oh, my goodness.
And, yeah. So,
and
yes.
That's, I wanted to go to Philadelphia Music Academy, but I didn't. I ended up at Virginia, Norfolk State, but I think Philadelphia Music Academy was too hard for me. I was suffering with dyslexia, and I was like, I wanted to go there because Stanley Clark went there.
Yeah, Stanley, yeah.
I was chasing Return to Forever at that time, and. Yeah. But one of my friends, Ruben Edwards, bass player, he went there. All right. So, and what about you? I went to Simon Gratz High School. What about you, Alfie?
Well, I grew up in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania. I went through Lower Merion School System, and I studied with my godmother, whose name was Teresa Tucker, and I started playing when I was 3 years old, and my mother played violin, and my father played cello in a black symphony orchestra called the Philadelphia Concert Orchestra. So I had music all around me, and people pushed me to do that.
Wow, that's amazing. Now,
and I grew to understand and be able to push myself, and I constantly push myself to this day.
Yeah, I know. You still go every time I call you.
Not over a cliff though.
Thank God for that. Yeah, thank God for that. Now, I got to say this. You know, I just want you guys to know I'm a Christian now, I got myself together, But Overbrook had the finest girls. We want to get over to Overbrook. There's some fine girls over there. That's cool. I remember being on the gymnastic team, and we would have meets over at Overbrook. Man, I couldn't even concentrate. So, I ended up with a girl out of Overbrook as well. So, man, oh man. So anyway, see, I'm getting back to my childish days, man. But was Overbrook like in? Where was that? What part of the city was that in?
Well,
Northwest Philadelphia.
Northwest? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's called. Really, you're in West Philadelphia. It's north. He's right. It's in the north part of West Philadelphia.
And the section is called Overbrook.
Close to it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, guys.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you would like to say before we end this interview?
Oh, I'd like to chime in and say one thing. A person that encouraged and pushed me and hooked me up with a lot of different things was a contemporary of Dennis Harris, Michael Sugar Bear Foreman, the bass player.
Okay.
When I got that gig with Major Harris, he was in the band. Then he hooked me up with The Futures. I worked with The Futures, and Barbara Mason toured with them in 1975. And then he hooked me up with Billy Paul because I played with Billy when he was doing jazz back in the 60s, but then 75, he hooked me up with Billy after Billy had hits out. And then he hooked me up with Teddy Pendergrass.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah.
How sweet it is.
Yeah.
All right. And you, Dennis,
yeah.
Anything in closing, Dennis, would you like to say anything to the listeners, your fans?
I can't think of anything. I hate to sound corny or something like that, but I'm not going to.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
But I just appreciate the opportunity you gave us.
Yes, so do I.
Yeah, I just want to say we – Well, from us, your fans, I'm one of your fans, so and you're a fan as well. And I just want to say we thank you guys so much for, your contribution to the music industry, for blessing us with great music that we could all go back. And even the young, my children, call you guys' old school music their old school music. And it's because the music back then was so good. It wasn't just about songs, but it was about musicianship. It was about lyrical content, you know. It was about just good concepts where people were trying to tell you something through the music. And you guys did that for us, and we have that to live with for the rest of our lives. And so thank you. And it passes on from one generation to another. And it was because of you guys' time that y'all put in to bless all of us with. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And that's coming from your fans to you. We appreciate y'all.
Oh, no problem. Not a problem at all.
All right. And I hear your song in the background there.
Which one?
Bad luck.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, God bless you. You take care.
All right. Do the same.
Have a blessed rest of your week. And I'd like to have you guys back on because there's so much more to talk about with you. All right.
Open it up. himself. Saw the President of the United States. The man said he was gonna give it up.
We'll be right back.
So that's the Philly sound, guys. And once again, I want to say thanks to Dennis Harris for coming on and Alfie for coming on and just blessing us all of that information about Philadelphia, all those songs they played on and produced. I mean, I grew up listening to that stuff. So it's so good, right, to go back and just listen to this that music and stuff and know that now I just finished talking to these guys that who paved the way for me, you know, because they were a generation before me. And so thank you guys for coming on and sharing your story. We do appreciate you very, very much here on Solar Records Radio. And so we are now it's time for the second hour, right, guys? So we're going to go into the second hour and we have another guest that's coming on that's going to be a blessing to her, but us. By the name of Shelly, and I had the blessed fortune to work with her. So here we go. I'm going to play a song from her, and then we're going to bring her on, and we're going to chop it up. All right. So here we go. Kick back, relax, and thanks again for tuning in to Solar Records Radio. This is your boy, Wardell Potts.
Oh, Hi, Wardell. I'm excited to be on your show today. It's a blessing.
Well, it's nice to have you, sweetheart. And
Thank you.
I can't believe it's been a while, and here you are. You know, we were talking about this for the longest, and finally we got you here. So how's it going?
Yes.
Yeah?
Awesome. Awesome.
Awesome.
Beautiful day. Great day.
Yes, it is. Every day is a gift, right? And so,
yes, absolutely.
But thank you for blessing us and coming on to our show today.
I want to
I know this lady, and I was fortunate to work with her because of my wife and her mother. And they talked us right into right into the show. You see, that's what it is. It starts somewhere, and here we are. And so, and Gayla's frustrated because she wants to hear the show, but something's wrong with the link. So she can't get the link to work. So I have to figure out how to help her out and stuff. So
hopefully get her on to listen.
Yes, yes, she's gonna try to listen. I want you to kind of tell us about who you are. Like, how did you even become a singer?
Well, I always wanted to sing when I was a little girl, I guess 4 or 5 years old. I would sing constantly. I'd hold a little hairbrush up to me and act like it was a microphone. And I just loved to sing. And I sang in church choir starting, I guess, when I was in first grade. I sang in a cappella choir all through high school. And I sang in a lot of church choirs, and I sang on worship teams. And so I just was always involved in singing. I did have some breaks of course, over the years, having children over the years, raising children. And then in 2016, I came out with my first album. It was September.
Hold on. Michelle?
And yes?
I'm not sure. It sounds like it's breaking up. Let me make sure it's not me. Let me see.
Okay.
Okay. That's better. All right, go ahead with your story.
Are we good? Okay. In 2016, I came out with my first album. It was contemporary Christian, and it was called Blessed and Highly Favored. It was all original songs, and Jim Hazel produced the music. And I got to perform that album at some church concerts, so that was a blessing. And that's how I got started. And then, of course, Gayla meeting my mom at church and introduced me to you, and we all got together and decided to produce this new album, which I'm so excited with you in your studio. And it's R&B and it's soulful music.
Mm-hmm. Now, but you worked on a project before B.
Yes.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yes. Yeah. I guess you didn't hear that part because I did tell y'all about it in 2016. I came out with my first album, which was Blessed and Highly Favored, which was all original songs. And Jim Hazel produced the music. And I did get to perform that album at different church concerts, which was a blessing.
Awesome. Okay. Wow. So now, you know, now let's just get to the fun part. That's how I was taking
okay.
So, so getting in the studio and working with me, how was that for you? You know, because for me, getting you in the studio was like shocking because she's really exotic. She's extremely exotic. I didn't even know what her nationality was. I couldn't figure it out by looking at it because every time she came, she seemed like she was dressing in a different culture. And right, and so, but it's not just the way she dresses; it's who she is. Her character is like that, and so you just say, like, "I'm trying to figure this lady out." Like, who is this sweet lady? I mean, you know. And so, but it was fun working with you. I enjoyed it.
It was awesome.
You know, I enjoyed Jay coming because we got to eat a lot.
We had some wonderful dinners at your house in the country.
Yeah, and Jay is her bodyguard, by the way. Husband and bodyguard.
No, it was such a blessing working with you, Wardell. You're very talented, and it was an honor, and it was a wonderful learning experience for me. And it was a lot of fun, you know. Your studio's there and your home, and so we'd have these awesome dinners afterwards, and it was a lot of fun, and it's so beautiful out there in the country and very peaceful and serene. It was a wonderful experience. It was such a blessing.
The other thing, too, that was really cool is that, you know, us both being Christians, we had to figure out, like, because she was doing Christian music before, and so her husband had shared with her that, you know, I want you to, you know, try to, you know, cross over and do some, you know, other music. You did the Christian music. Let's try, you know, some R&B stuff and see how that works. So here we are, and I'm trying to figure out, like, how to be as, you know, like, gentle in terms of, you know, the approach to doing this music with you. Like, how do I do it so that it doesn't come off as, you know, because some R&B music can be kind of distasteful, right? And it says things that you, you know, as Christians, we're not going to say. So we had to figure that out. And so her writing the lyrics really helped out a lot with that. And so, and I just had to find the music. But the thing was, I just had tracks and I gave it to her and she would take it. And before you know it, she's calling me. So what do you think about this? What do you think? I mean, she had the whole story lying down, and just, you know, so that was fun. That part was really fun because you really were serious about it, and you really wanted to do it, you know. And so, were you ever nervous and uncomfortable about, you know, you got your family all behind you, and now you got to go deliver the goods, and it's like, oh boy, the pressure's on. Were you ever uncomfortable with that?
A little bit. I mean, because it's all new. It's a new project, and I have to write these songs. But I really trusted in the Lord. He's helped me in the Holy Spirit with my writing and my music. And so I just prayed about everything, and everything would flow out. So it's because of him.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
So I want to play another one of your songs. I'm trying to figure out which song it is to make sure I'm on, because your daughter will beat me up.
Your love.
And so do you want to tell me a little bit about this song?
Yes. Your Love is probably definitely one of my most favorite songs and on the album. It's very, very romantic, and I'm a hopeless romantic. And I read the Song of Solomon from the Bible to get inspiration, to write a real pretty love song. And so that was my inspiration for this song. And also, and you're taking me there, that song, the first song you played, is one of my favorites too, because you sang with me. We got to sing together. So that was... You know, and we co-wrote that song, so that was a special song, also.
Yeah. Did you hear what she said to my church members? I sang with her. Oh my God!
Yes.
I'm trying to get them to let me sing in church. I tell them to give me a mic, Michelle. Tell them to give me a microphone.
Absolutely.
All right. So listen.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's take a listen. Go ahead to this song,
Your Love.
Shelley, and it's called Your Love here on Soul Life Records Radio. We'll be right back.
Love your dream, yeah.
There you go, right there. Man, oh, man. It sounds so good on the radio. I have to say, myself, I'm enjoying your music.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Oh,
great, great song. Great song. Very proud of you, Shelley.
Oh, and thank you. So, thank you, Wardell.
You are very welcome. And that's our first time out the box. So, we have to maybe think about you recording again because, we're just figuring it out as we were going.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, let me ask you this real quickly, and then I have a caller mm-hmm. on the line for you.
Okay.
If people wanted to, support and purchase your product, how could they go about doing it?
It's in all the stores. It's on Amazon, Spotify, Pandora, all the different stores they can get it.
Okay, then. Online stores. Okay, awesome.
Yes, online stores.
Apple Music, all that stuff. That's awesome.
Yes, Apple.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, and so they just go Shelley, and what's the name of your album?
It's Your Love.
Your Love
and
is the name of the album.
You have to put in Shelley, Shelley, because there's a lot of Shelleys, and you have to put in the name of the album, which is Your Love.
Awesome. Wow, that's so cool. Well, I have mm-hmm. somebody here that said they're your first and biggest fan. Your first fan and your biggest fan. So let me
okay.
see. Let's see. Mom, are you there?
I am.
Wow, it sounds so different on the radio.
Yeah, she's doing good. And so, by the way, Gayla's in the studio listening, so she can, let me see. Can you hear her, Gayla?
No, I can't hear them, only you.
Oh, because I turned the volume.
Oh, okay.
Up.
Well, tell
yeah.
Gayla I give a shout out to her.
That's Shelly's mom, Shelly and her mom.
Hi, Miss Gayla.
You're the one that started this whole thing.
Yeah.
Yes, it was just it was happenstance. And just see where it led. Wardell, you have just graced Michelle with your talent and your expertise, your musicality, your studio work, you're blending. She's at a different level. I think she's ready, she's ready to go out the gate here. And I just wanted to reiterate what she said. She, from the age of like 3 or 4, we wore ballet costumes, Halloween costumes, cheerleading costumes till they were threadbare because she would put them on to perform all around the house. We could not mm-hmm. have company without her performing. And she's so comfortable. She has no fear. She's a very reticent, retiring young lady. But on the stage, that's her platform. And
yes.
I was so pleased. She did not write music until, Michelle, you missed that. I don't think she started writing music until about 2000, what, Michelle, 14 or 15?
14.
Yeah, and it
mm-hmm.
just started coming to her.
Yes.
And now mm-hmm. she's filled with ideas, and the lyrics just come. So that's amazing. It's a blessing.
It is. It
but
really is.
I really
is.
Enjoyed
yes.
the show and hearing you on big time now.
There you go, Shelley.
Thank you.
Mom, I want to ask you something. And it's kind of your fault. But Shelley, the other day, I called to talk to her after you guys went out, and she was wiped out.
Yes.
She said neither one of y'all could walk. You can't walk. What's going on here?
We shopped till we dropped, literally.
Oh,
and it was a fun day. Literally, we shopped until we were dropping. And so, I mean, we were close to, going barefoot in the parking lot.
Wow. That is so cool. I mean, it's such a beautiful blessing to hear, the mother and daughter stories and stuff. You guys are living the best life, and that, and it's a beautiful thing to you know, to be a part of it, to hear it and witness it to a degree. Just calling her, and she was so wiped out. I could barely walk. I don't know. I'm like thinking she got to go to the hospital.
No, it wasn't that bad. We had to go home and try on what we bought.
But you got to hurt her. She sounded like it was over. She was like, oh, my God. So, but anyway, it's beautiful. And thank you so much for sharing your beautiful daughter with us. We are
well,
all
thank
beautiful.
You. Thank you for having her on your show and for working with her to produce this album. It was just amazing.
Oh, thank you. You're welcome. You're so welcome. And I want to also, I think her security is online too. I'm not secure. Jay, are you there?
Hi.
Jay, you are there.
Hello.
Hey, Jay.
Though. I didn't know that would go through.
Yeah, it went through. And are you eating, Jay?
I made it home. I was afraid to go in. I don't want to.
Okay. All right. He's trying. He's trying to get to the food. We got to get out his way. But anyway, Jay, thanks for you know, encouraging your wife and bringing her to the studio. When we needed her, it was quite a long drive. And so thanks for, you know,
yeah, thank you, honey.
Doing it the right way. We appreciate you. And next time I see you, make sure you bring a Philadelphia cheesesteak with you. And we could have more fun. But all right, guys. Yeah. Well, Jay, is there anything you'd like to say before we end this interview?
Just real proud of you guys both, and look forward to doing some more stuff in the future. That'd be great.
Awesome.
Well, I'm going to sign out now, but again, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you too, Mom.
Right. Bye, Mom.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye, Mom.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Say bye, Mom. All right. Okay. All right. So anyway, all right, well, Jay, we're going to go into this last song. Shelley, is there anything you want to say about this last song, I Need to Be Loved, before we end this interview?
Yeah, well, I love to dance. It's a great song to dance to, a good dance song. And I like it because I talk about, you know, about being assertive in a relationship and letting them know what you want, what your needs are. And I get a little sassy, a little sassy in the song, and you know, letting them know I don't want to play any games. But it's a cute song; I like it.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming on and sharing your story with us. We appreciate you. And
well, thank you so much for having me. And then I did want to share my website real quickly.
Oh, yeah, go.
It's Shelley, Shelly, musicentertainment.com. So I just wanted to share that.
Say it one more time.
It's Shelley, Shelly, musicentertainment.com.
Wow. All righty. Well, here we go. I'm going to play this song, I Need to Be Loved. And thank you again. And we'll catch you next time, Shelley, on Soul Radio.
Thank you so much for having me on the show today. Thank you.
Right. You're welcome.
Hey, I need to be loved. I need to be loved.
and I are in a place called non-existence. And I think it's time that we gave ourselves some distance. For today, and maybe we'll see through this rain.
We have searched for heaven, what we thought was hell. Is there a solution? Only time will tell. Maybe with some patience, we will find our way. Maybe we'll cross the path once again.
Oh.
there. We had a secret way to heaven. I want to say thanks again to our girl Shelly for coming on and blessing us and being a part of Solar Records Radio. Much love, sweetheart, and much. We're going to just pray that God blesses your project, your future project as well, and you just keep up the good work and keep on doing what you're doing. I'd like to thank our mom for showing us how it's done. That love, that is just undeniable. That love from my mother is just so potent and so beautiful. So we are blessed when we have our moms right there supporting us. And I'm so grateful for my mom. And I know Shelly's the same way. You just heard they were out doing their thing, the girls, to the point where they could barely walk. At least mom said she was fine. It was Shelly that said she was having problems. So what does that tell you? Mom is in better shape than Shelly. It's all good. Anyway, guys, we got about another 20 minutes left in the show, and I'd like to thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to keep this music going, and we love you. Thank you for tuning in to Indie Jazz Day. We support our indie artists all over the world, and we love on our jazz artists.
suddenly appear. Every time you are near, just like me, they long to be is why
Wow, what a beautiful song by Three Style, overseas artist, that indie artist that we support here on Solar Records Radio. And man, oh man, we love good music. And you know, guys, we want to thank you. We only got 10 minutes left in the show, so we just want to pray that God protects you and keep you and take care of you, yourselves. And we're praying for Ukraine, and we just pray that God protects those babies and the people there, all the innocent ones. We love you guys, and thanks for making Solar Records Radio your choice. As we know, you have many choices, and we appreciate you. We'd like to thank our special guest today, Dennis, my man Dennis. Much love to you. Thanks, Dennis Harris and Alfie, for coming on, and our girl Shelly, who has blessed us. You guys all take care and enjoy the rest of your day.